Good evening, everybody. There are a lot of people that called this past week about different questions that came up regarding Hashanah Mu'baris and the Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni and with regarding Yahrzeit and Kaddish. So I figured tonight we'll just discuss this and take care of everything at once. By way of introduction to this sugya, it's important to note that the Ramban writes in the middle of Parshas Bo, a very famous Ramban, where he says that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa for a person to actually follow the Jewish calendar, for a person to actually count the months, or for that matter, to count the days. Many say that we're mekayim this din of the Ramban every day when we say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. So some say that this is actually, in fact, a kiyum mitzvah, according to the Ramban, of following the Jewish calendar. So the Ramban tells us that we should follow the Jewish calendar and refer to the months by the name that the Torah gave them. And that would seem to indicate that we shouldn't say that today is January X or February X. We should really say what the Jewish calendaric date actually is. So that's a big discussion in the poskim. What's the heter nowadays? Why everyone seems to be lenient? And we write in all our letters and we write in all the documents that we have the non-Jewish calendaric date. Be it as it may, the Ramban tells us that we have such a mitzvah. The question arises that if you look throughout the Torah, we don't find the names of the months being the way we refer to them as we do nowadays, right? We don't call in the Torah, we don't call a Nisan Iyar, Sivan Tammuz, we don't find that in the Torah. We find Bachodesh HaRishon, Bachodesh HaSheni, Bachodesh HaShlishi. So what is this that nowadays we have the practice to actually call the Shmos HaChadashim by different names than the Torah actually itself set out for us to call them? If in fact the Ramban is correct, that there's really a mitzvah essay for a person to refer to the months by their really proper names that we find in Chumash, so then what is the Heter B'Zman Hazeh to call them by the names as we know them? In fact, the Rambam writes in the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna, Zos HaTorah Lo Tehe Mukhlefes. Nothing's going to change from the Mitzvah HaTorah. So how could it be that this has changed from the way the Torah actually gave it to the way we find it nowadays? So the Ramban addresses this question. The Ramban tells us as follows. Says the Ramban on Chumash and Parshas Bo, that in fact in the original mandate when the Torah said that you have to call the Shmos HaChadashim by the names that they're given in the Torah, the Torah already knew that Ezra HaSofer would come along by the end of Galus Babel and change the names of the Chadashim. So therefore, this was built in the beginning when the Torah told us to do this. The Torah already knew from the outset that we were going to change it later on. And that's not a violation of Zos HaTorah Lo Tehe Mukhlefes. That's not a violation of one of the Ramam's Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna. There's a famous Shita of Rabbi Yosef Albo in the Sefer HaIkrim, famous one of the Rishonim, where he writes that no, he disagrees with the Ramam. Who said that the Torah can't change? Well, who said the Torah can't change? What do you mean? That's what Orthodox Judaism believes in, that we can't change the Torah, right? Correct? So what does this mean? So that's a very famous discussion, but a lot of the discussion focuses around this very question. How did we change the Shmos HaChadashim? Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikrim writes, we changed them because there's nothing wrong with changing. The Mitzvah HaTorah could change. The Rambam is on the premise that the Mitzvah HaTorah can never change, and that's why the Ramban is faced with this very big problem. So that is basically the background to this sugya. Now that we know that there's an institution of a Jewish calendar, and we know that we're supposed to actually follow it according to the way the Ramban says, Midaraisa, we're supposed to follow the Jewish calendar, so what happens when we have a Shana Mu'baris? What's that all about, and what's the status of this extra month? It's important for us to know, because it is no gap for many dinim, as we will see. So number one, we have to begin with the Mishnah in Megillah. The Mishnah says in Megillah Daf Yud, Karu Es HaMegillah, pay attention to the case. The Mishnah says, let's say we already read the Megillah. Ba'adar HaRishon, we already read the Megillah and Adar Rishon. Now, this year we're going to have Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. When do we actually fulfill the mitzvah of Purim? Adar Sheni. So what's going on here in the case of the Mishnah? So the case is as follows. Karu Es HaMegillah Ba'adar Rishon, they went ahead and they read the Megillah and Adar Rishon, v'nis Abra HaShana. And now, the Beis Din is convening right after Mikra Megillah on the day of Purim and Adar Rishon, and they say, you know what? All the months are going to be off kilter because we want Pesach to fall out at a certain time in the year. So you know what? We're going to make an Ivriyar this year. What do you mean? We already laying Mikra Megillah. So no, the din is, the Gemara tells us the din is, they're allowed to be Ma'abir the Shana even until the last day in Chodesh Adar. Then they could go ahead and add another month. It's not a problem. So that's the case that the Mishnah is referring to. They went ahead and they read Mikra Megillah already. And now they go ahead and they're Ma'abir the Shana. So here says the Mishnah as follows, Koro Noseva Adar Sheni. Now that they made an Ibriyar, we have to go ahead and repeat the Mikra Megillah in the second month of Adar as well. Then the Mishnah ends off, Ein Mein Adar Rishon Adar Sheni Ela Mikra Umegillah Umatanas La'avionim. There is no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni except for the fact that we lain Mikra Megillah only in Adar Sheni, like this year what we're going to do, and Matanas La'avionim. So the Gemara there is Medayik. It seems that Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are the same. So what does that mean? What are they the same for? If Mikra Megillah and Matanos Levionim don't apply in the first month, so then what is Purim Katan, as we'll call it? What is that? Nogeh Halacha L'maisa. So the Gemara says, Halacha L'maisa, it's Aser Behesped V'tainis on Purim Katan. You're not allowed to have Espedim or to Gozer V'tainis on the Purim Katan of Adar Rishon. That is Halacha L'maisa, that's what the Rambam Paskins. And that is the Shita of the Rif, the Ran, and most of the Rishonim on the Sugi there as well. That on the first Adar Rishon, you're not allowed to have Hesped V'tainis. On the second one is when we actually are Mekayim the Mitzvah Sayom. The Tur quotes his father, the Rush, who disagrees very strongly with the understanding that the Rishonim have in this Mishnah. He says, no. The only reason why there's any significance to the Purim Katan and Adar Rishon, that's only talking about the very specific case that the Mishnah has here. The case that the Mishnah has is that they already read the Megillah. And now the Bezin comes along and is Ma'abir the Shana. So now we want to know what's the status of the rest of the day of Purim. Now that on Purim itself they're Ma'abir the Shana, what's the status of the rest of the day? Are we allowed to have Hesped V'tainis or not? So there, says the Rush, you're not allowed to have because we already read Mikra Megillah. But on a regular year, where we know from the outset that there's going to be an Ibur year, and we know that there's going to be two Adars, so is there any significance to the first Purim Katan that we come across in Adar Rishon or not? Says the Rush, no, that doesn't have any special significance. You can have Hesped V'tainis on that day and everything's fine. That is the big machlokas. And as the Rush himself writes, Shehare Oz Adar Rishon Kemo Shvat. The Lashon of the Rush is, there's no significance to Adar Rishon. It's like Shvat, it's like Tevis. There's nothing special about the day of Purim in the Adar Rishon. So this is the Machlokas of Rishon. How do we paskin halacha l'maisa in Shulchan Aruch? So the Mechaber writes in Siman Tafresh Tadi Zayin that we hold that Purim actually has to be observed in the second month in Adar Sheni. However, in Adar Rishon, there's an Isser Hesped V'tainis like the Rambam and Rov Rishonim explain based on that Gemara, not like the Rush. So that is the way we hold. So now, we know there's an Isser Hesped V'tainis on Purim Katan in the first Adar Rishon. So what's the din? Let's say a person's getting married. So we know a chasen is supposed to fast be Yom Chupaso. So what does he do if he's getting married on Purim Katan? Does he fast? Does he not fast? What's the halacha? So l'charu, the halacha is as follows. The Mishnah Berurah says in a different context, in Siman Tav Kuf Ayin Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Aliyah Rabba that any day that we don't recite Tachanun, the minig is that the chasen doesn't fast, even if he's getting married that day. So this obviously would follow. We paskin l'halacha on Purim Katan, we don't recite Tachanun, we don't have Hesped V'tainis. So therefore that would follow that the regular rule is as well that a chasen should not fast. However, the Pisket Tshuva points out in Evin HaEzer that although a chasen doesn't fast on a day when we don't recite Tachanun, he still should recite the Vidui in the Mincha of his Shmona Esrei, because it still is a Yom Slicha, Yom Achila. He just happens to be, he can't fast because we don't say Tachanun, so that's a side reason, but Lamaisa, he should still recite the Vidui when he is davening Mincha on the day of his Chasana. So that's an important halacha to make note of. So then the Ramah takes the discussion a step further. What's the din? Is there any Chiyuv Simcha on Purim Katan or not? That's the Ramah's discussion, and this is actually the last Ramah in all of Shulchan Aruch Harachaim. So the Ramah over there says, Yesh Omrim, some say, Shechayiv Laharbas Mishta V'Simcha, V'Yud Aleph Adar Rishon. Some say you have to make a big party, a big Suda, just like you would make on Adar Sheni, on Purim. Some say you have to make a big party, a big Suda on Adar Rishon as well. That's what the Ramah says. Although we're not having Mikra Megillah, although there's no Matanos Levionim, still you got to make a big Suda. Zen, Zok, the Ramah, Anu, Enogim Kain. The Ramah says, we don't have the Minig. We have the Minig, we treat it like a regular day, we just don't say Tachanun. We don't have tainis, but Lamaisa, the Ramah says, our minig in Krakow and for Bnei Ashkenaz is that we don't make a big deal on Purim of Adar Rishon. But then the Ramah says that there is mikomakom yarvik tzas besuda. A person should have a nicer meal than on a regular day. That's what he says. And the Ramah ends off Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim by saying, Tov Lev Mishta Tamen, the famous words of the Ramah. It's not such a bad thing to be happy all the time. So therefore the Ramah says, when we have a nice excuse to be happy on Purim of Adar Rishon, so why not make an extra suda more than you normally would? In fact, the Mishnah Berurah over there writes that what if a person on Adar Rishon makes a mistake and he benches and he says Al HaNisim, or in Shmona Esrei he recites Al HaNisim, so what's the din? So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, since it seems from the Ramah that there is a quasi-specialness, there is something significant to this day, so perhaps you don't have to recite the benching or the Shmona Esrei over again, even though you made a total mistake. You said something that's actually not nogei at all for the day. Still, says the Mishnah Berurah, you wouldn't have to go back. So now, here in Chosha Mishpat, there are very interesting discussions with regard to Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni as well. Some is regarding Yeridei and some is regarding Chosha Mishpat. And with that, I mean the following. The Gemara has in Nedarim, on Daf Samach Gimel, a famous Machlokes HaTanoim. What's the halacha of a person takes a nether upon himself? I will not drink wine for a certain period of time. Okay, so he's not allowed to drink wine for that period of time. What's the din if he takes upon himself, I won't drink wine until Chodesh Adar? So the Gemara here has a machlokes, Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. Well, what do you do in a Shana Muveris? Does he mean I'm not going to drink wine until Adar Rishon, or does he mean I'm not going to drink wine until Adar Sheni? What is the general understanding when a person says Adar? What does he mean? Does he mean Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? So this is a machlokes Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Meir says Stam Adar is Adar Sheni, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, Stam Adar is Adar Rishon. So that's the machlokes that we find in the Gemara. The Rambam paskins like Rav Meir that Stam Adar is Adar Sheni, and in fact the Shulchan Aruch and Yaredeya Hilchos Nedarim is Mesupik in this. He's not sure. Maybe the halacha should be like Rabbi Yehuda, maybe the halacha should be like Rabbi Meir. And when a person makes a neder and he says, I'm not going to drink wine until Adar, so we have to be careful about that. And since it's a suffix, he's going to have to be machmir and wait until Adar Shein. Okay, very interesting din. What's the halacha? Let's say we have another case. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Daf Kufayim and Aleph, I'll read, Maisa B'Tzipori. There was a story in the city by the name of Tzipori, Be'echot Shesachar Merchatz Mechadero. Somebody leases a bathhouse from his friend, for a business purpose, whatever it is, he wants to use the bathhouse, and the deal that they arranged was, he's going to pay him shneim asar zehuvim l'shana. Okay, he's going to pay him $12 for the year, let's say, $12,000, $12 million, whatever. And then he adds on a clause, dinar zehav l'chodesh. What do you mean? If I tell someone, I'm going to pay you $12 for the year, what do I mean? I'm going to pay you $1 a month. So now the Gemara says, but I added on in the end of my agreement, I'm going to pay you a dinar zehav l'chodesh. So now what's the din? Did I mean to say $1 a month? Or did I mean to say $12 for the whole year? So that's the question that the Gemara deals with. And the Gemara says, and they had a whole big discussion, what's the halacha, what should we do? Who's in the right here? Who should have to pay for the extra month? Should we assume that that was included in the Ibriyar? That was included when I said I'm paying $12 for the year. So the year means 12 months or 13 months. Or do we say no? That when you made the second clause and you said dinar zav l'chodesh, you meant to add on for a nibriyar an extra dollar. That's the discussion the Gemara has. Halacha l'maisa we paskin that the socher is mechuyev to pay. That if I rented the bathhouse from the owner and now we're faced with a nibriyar, I have to pay him for that extra month. Why? Says the Shulchan Aruch. The reason is as follows. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Chesh Mishpat, the reason is because we always know hamotzi mechaveru olav haraya. If I want to take money away from you, I have to bring the burden of proof is on me, because you have the money. So if you own the land, and I'm renting it from you, I want to use the services, so you are the one who's mukhzuk. You own it. So now if I want to use the services for an extra month, I have to come along and bring a proof that I actually am entitled to that. Since I can't bring that proof, because we're not really sure what the din is, so then the Shulchan Aruch paskins that since the owner of the land is always in the right, because Hamatz Mechaver Alev Haraya, he's the owner, so therefore, I would have to pay, I as the renter would have to pay for the extra month when we're faced with a Shana Muveris problem. Then the Ramah tacks onto this, well, what happens in a case which is a little bit different? What happens if I hire a worker and I tell him I'm going to pay you $12 for the year, $1 a month? So what's the din in that case when you have an Ibriyar? How much do I have to pay him at the end of the year? Am I mechuyev to pay him $13 or $12? Well, over here, says the Ramah, the logic goes as follows. Over here, you don't say that Karka b'cheskas ba'alei ol medes. You don't say he's the muchzuk on himself, right? That doesn't make any sense. I hire a person to do a job. The question is, what did I mean? So who's the muchzuk in such a case? So in that case, the Rama writes that ein sarach l'shalem la'os chodesh ha'ibur. In that case, if he taught my son, let's say, I asked him to be the teacher for the year, and this year happened to have 13 months, and he went and he taught my son for an extra month, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins, I don't have to pay him the extra month because then it's Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya the other way. I'm the one who's muchzik on the money. He's trying to come and claim from me that he wants an extra dollar because I taught his son the extra Ibriyar in the extra month. So in such a case, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah tells us that we don't have to pay. So now, when it comes to Arachayim in Yonim, what's the halacha? Let's say someone was born. The Ramah says, someone was born in a Shana Pshuta. Someone was born in an Adar in a year that was just 1 month of Adar. And now, by the time his Bar Mitzvah rolls around, there are two others in that year. So what's the halacha? So Ramah says, in that case, we generally assume that he has to wait for the Bar Mitzvah till Adar Sheni. That's the halacha. The Pri Chadosh, another Achronim quote, that there are those who disagree and say, no, already in Adar Rishon is his Bar Mitzvah. So this is a big discussion, but the Ramah says the minig is, we wait till Adar Sheni. It should be pointed out that although we have the minig to wait till Adar Sheni for the Bar Mitzvah, he should already start wearing, the poskim say, he should already start wearing tefillin and Adar Rishon, because that's a suffix on a Daraisa, he might be Mevatel Mitzvah Tefillin. So they say you should already start from a month before. Now, that's not so wild, because many of us have the practice to wait to already begin wearing the Tefillin in a regular Bar Mitzvah boy from a month before. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan who quotes that, that is the prevalent minig and minig Ashkenaz to put on the Tefillin a month before. So therefore, this would be just a regular case where we wear the Tefillin a month before the Bar Mitzvah. The Tzitz Eliezer wants to be Mechadish, then maybe that's where the minig started from. Because we don't want to embarrass this child and make him wear Tefillin before everybody else. So you know what we say across the board? Everyone has to wear Tefillin a month before, because if you are faced with a situation where your Bar Mitzvah is going to be in a Shana Muberes, we don't want you to be different from all the other kids in the class. So Mamela, everyone from here on in has to wear Tefillin a month before. Interesting Chiddush. And it's arguable whether or not it's correct. Now, what's the din if a person... What? Yeah? Yeah? They all say a bracha, yeah. What's the din if a person has Yartzeit, right? So a person, Rachmana Litzlan, has Yartzeit in Chodesh Adar. And now this year, Chodesh Adar is a Shana Muperes. So when should he observe the Yartzeit? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that he should observe the Yartzeit in Adar Hasheni. Right, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And the Ramah says that the minig is to fast, to observe the Yartzeit in Adar Rishon. But then says the Ramah, our minig is that you should be machmir and do the Yartzeit in both Adar HaRishon and Adar HaSheni. That's what the Ramah writes, that's what the Bir HaGra comes out, and that's what Rav Achronim say. Rav Moshe says that as well, that we should try to be machmir, unless it's very difficult for a person. What? You're a chiv in both. So how can you be a chiv in both? That's what you're asking. How's it possible? If you're just a suffix, how can you be a chiv in both? So the Bir HaGra there, it's a good question. The Bir HaGra there writes the following. The Bir HaGra points out that if you look through all the different places in Shulchan Aruch where this interesting problem comes up, you'll find that there are stiras galore, stiras left and right. So how could it be there? Ramah says over here, you have to keep them both, and how could it be in Hilchos Nedarim? He says it's a suffix. What's going on? So the Vilna Gaon says, no. When it comes to Hilchos Nedarim, Hilchos Nedarim is all based on Haloch Achar Lashem Bnei Adam. Hilchos Nedarim depends on what I had in mind when I took upon myself this activity or this inactivity. So therefore, when it comes to Lashem Bnei Adam, that's why the Shulchan Aruch has a suffix, because we're not sure what do people think. When you say, I'm not going to drink wine until Adar. So what do you mean? Depends on the person. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch over there has a suffix. But over here says the Bir HaGra, when the Ramah says we have the minig to be machmir and have the Yartzeit observed in both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, says the Bir HaGra, that's not Petorah Suffix, that's Petorah Zvadaik. Because both of them have a complete din of Chodesh Adar, and therefore the Yartzeit which falls out in Adar has to be both observed in Adar Rishon and in Adar Sheni. That's the way the Bir HaGra explains it. Now, yeah.
The Nifter died in Adar
Sheni.
Yeah.
The Nifter died in Adar Sheni. Yeah.
What happens next year?
Yeah. Oh. So that's what we're getting to. What happens with saying Kaddish, right? A person is supposed to say Kaddish Yud Beis Chodesh. So what happens? He's saying Kaddish. He loses somebody on Hey Shvat, and now he wants to know how long is he supposed to say Kaddish for?
That's a separate question. There's another question.
So 1 second. So what's the din here? So no, over there by Kaddish we say it's only 12 months is the Kaddish, because the maximum a person can suffer in Shamayim is only 12 months. So therefore you stop a month early in a Shana Muberes. Your question was what?
The Ramah who says you have to do both months. Why
yeah.
If the Nifter died after but Adar Sheni?
Okay. Yeah.
You have to do twice in the next Adar Sheni?
No, there's only twice in a Shana Muberes.
Right.
So Shana Muberes, you don't die on the
base. What do you mean, Shana? Yeah.
So now the question is, when he grabs over your, does he do Aleph and base, or just base?
You do both. But you do both. You do both, because both of them, yeah. Both of them anyway, yeah. If it's in Bays, if the Nifter passes away in Bays, you also have to observe both, because we assume, like the Bir HaGra says, both of them are Vade Chodesh Adar. Both of them are Vade Chodesh Adar. What?
No. If he died on the Shana Muberes Adar Rishon, you only hold one day Yartzeit.
I'm not sure that's correct. Is that what they say? I'm not sure that's correct. I made sure to okay this with Rabbi Feiner today. He thought I was correct as well. That I think if you have somebody who's Nifter in Adar, you have to observe the Yartzeit in both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. That is the... What? Anyone who has further questions, maybe we'll dive in Ma'ariv. Perfect. Very good. Okay. So this is basically the din. Okay.